All right, you may be seated. Thank you so much. Well, it's always a joy to be at Pacific Baptist Church. And this is, I've said before, this is like my second home church. I've always loved coming here. There's so many people that have become dear friends here. Brother Myers mentioned 35 years I've known Brother Myers, Brother Johnny Esposito. We were all Bible college together, Pastor Esposito. We were all there at the same time. Of course, that was back when Brother Myers had hair and Brother Johnny had hair. And those were good days. In fact, Brother Johnny was at our church in Missouri, and he actually spent about a week and a half there, and he kind of went out to different churches from our church. He stayed at the Prophet's Chamber, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and we laughed and reminisced and just talked about Bible college days and bus ministry days and things that we both went through in the military, and just had such a good time. You know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is that you can make friends, and they become your friends for a lifetime. And I'm so glad that I made friends with people that have been faithful to the Lord for many, many years. And I really believe that one of the things that's going to make a difference in your Christian life are the friends that you make in your life. You know, choose faithful Christians for your friends, and you will never, ever regret that. And, of course, we are not just strolling through. We are here for a reason, and we are so looking forward to the wedding on Saturday. We got a rehearsal tonight, and to see Nick and Hannah get married. That's so exciting. They're both wonderful young people, and we're thrilled to see Nick find such a wonderful girl in Hannah. And, of course, she is a product of this church. And of course, the Pichardos, the faithful raising and training that they have invested in her. So we look forward to it. Amen? So now, let's see, two down, four to go for us. And it's a long haul sometimes, but we thank the Lord. God has someone for everyone. Amen? And so, but it's good to be here. Thank you, Brother Myers, for letting me preach. And if you would, please take your Bibles. And I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to get down on your spiritual level today, or tonight rather. And in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse number 12. And if you would please, if you're able to, would you stand please for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained and either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those are very familiar verses, wonderful verses. And there's something I see in these verses I believe would be a help to you. So let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer together. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Father who art in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to be in church tonight. Lord, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for Pastor Myers. I thank you for the wonderful staff that he has and the wonderful membership that he has. And God, how you have used this church to impact not just Long Beach, but Lord, America and the world. And we're so grateful, Lord, for what you have done and what you are doing. And Lord, what you are going to do in this place. But Lord, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. What matters right now is this service and this message in our hearts and our minds being focused on the Word of God. And so I pray that you would give to me the attention of these thy people. I pray that you would speak to every heart and that you would apply this message in a very personal way. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would help me and use me tonight, but also that he would help everyone here to have ears to hear what God has for each one of us. Lord, please help people to make decisions tonight that will be eternal decisions. And if there's anybody here that isn't saved, Lord, what a wonderful thing it would be that tonight would be the day of salvation for somebody. And we thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this weekend, and I believe next weekend, I'm really not sure, but I know this weekend for sure, next weekend or the weekend after that, many eyes in this country will be looking and many ears will be listening to a sport called football. I know you don't love football. You're not supposed to, you're supposed to love Jesus, amen. But how many here like football? Is there anybody that likes football around here? Well, it's good to see some saved people. I think some of you are lying. You're hidden football likers. But I like football. I've always enjoyed watching a good football game once in a while. And of course, this weekend is the NFC Championship and is also the AFC Championship. And of course, we're looking forward to seeing the New England Patriots win the whole thing. And God's people said, amen. Amen. And but I enjoy rooting for my team. I still remember when Nick was 9 years old, and Nick started going wayward, and he actually started liking the Denver Broncos. And he was going down, all the way down. Like Jonah went down into the ship, Nick was going down. And I think he came to his senses. I think he likes the New England Patriots now. And but the one that's the worst of all is my daughter Valerie. She's a Green Bay Packers fan. And worse than that, she is a New York Yankees fan. That's the Antichrist right there, man. That is absolute heresy. That's from the pits of hell. And make sure you get that off this tape, by the way. And I'm, of course, a Boston Red Sox fan. And but many people are thinking about football. And I don't think there's anything wrong with watching a good football game every once in a while. But I was fortunate enough to marry a woman that liked football also. And so many times we would sit down and watch with our kids. My wife split a blanket out every once in a while, make some sandwiches, and we'd sit and watch a football game and enjoy doing that. But my wife would say something often, and she would say this. She said, the reason why I like football is because life is like football. Life is like football. You know, I agree with that. You know, when you look at football, you see these two teams battling and struggling and trying to reach a goal and wanting the victory and sometimes getting knocked down but getting back up again. And by the way, other people feel the same way, that life is like football. Somebody said this, that the game of life is a lot like football. You have to tackle your problems, block your fears, and score your points when you get the opportunity. I don't know if you know who this is, but Vince Lombardi was a great coach for the Green Bay Packers and probably one of the greatest coaches ever. And Vince Lombardi said this. He said, football is like life. It requires perseverance, self-denial, hard work, sacrifice, dedication, and respect for authority. Life is like football. And the spiritual life is like football. The reason why I chose the verses that we read together tonight is because I believe those verses do have some meaning that can be applied to football. Look at them again with me. Look at verse number 13. He said, Paul wrote this in the Mamertine prison. And he wrote, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, reaching forth. Reaching forth, if you look that up, it gives the picture of stretching yourself or striving yourself to reach a goal. Yeah. How many times have you watched a football game? Maybe the receiver's got the ball and he's racing towards that goal and a tackler gets him and the receiver stretches to get across that goal and get that touchdown. How many times have you seen a running back, he's pursuing and trying to get over that goal line so he can get a touchdown, and he stretches and he strives to get over that line so he can have a touchdown. He says in the next verse, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I press. That idea is this idea of press toward is to constantly pursuing to win. That's football. Football is constantly pursuing to win, stretching yourself, straining yourself to get to that goal to win. And that is what life is all about. What a picture of life. By the way, everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. If you want to lose, there's something wrong with you. Somebody says, be a good loser. I don't want to be a good loser. People who are good losers, they're good losers because they lose all the time. Amen? I don't like losing. I want to win. And when somebody gets on a football team and somebody gets in a game, it doesn't matter what their record is. Hey, they are in on that football team and they are in that game because they want to win. You play football to win, not to lose. Can I say this? You should live your life to win, not to lose. That's the way we ought to live our life. That's the way we ought to live our Christian life. We ought to be winners. By the way, we're already on the winning side, amen. We're already on the New England Patriots team, amen. We're already on the winning team. The team of Jesus Christ, he's the captain, amen. So you ought to be striving as a Christian every day to be a winner, every day. I believe there are four things, four ways that life is like football. Number one, life is like football in that in order to win, there must be preparation. There must be preparation. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, and either were already perfect, that word means mature, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I love that verse. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of a spiritual giant. I think of probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. I think of somebody that was probably one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. I think of somebody that was probably one of the greatest pastors that ever lived. But I like the fact that Paul said, you know what, I have not arrived. I'm not done. And the eye there Paul gives to us, he says, but I follow after. And that means, basically it means I keep on pursuing or I keep on preparing. See, the Christian that is going to be a winner, the Christian that is going to be on the winning team and win, like somebody who's on a winning team, is somebody that is always preparing and pursuing in their life. They never get stagnant. They never get to the place where they're complacent. Hey, they're always wanting to prepare. Someone has said that success is not in the performance, but in the preparation. Joe Paterno, who was the coach of Penn State, a winning team, a winning coach, said this. He said, the will, this is great, listen to this. The will to win is important, but listen, but the will to prepare is vital. The will to win is important, but the will to prepare is vital. Hey, I taught Bible college here at Pacific Baptist Bible College, I think for 10 years. And I remember standing in that classroom and teaching and giving tests. And you know what? Everybody wanted to do well on the tests. But not everybody was willing to prepare for the test. And that's why some won, got good grades, and why some lost. And that's where life is like football. Listen, if you are going to win, there must be preparation. That's why a team gets together and they go to practices and they run the plays over and over and over again. That's why they practice the passing and they practice the receiving. That's why they practice the blocking and the tackling. Hey, that's why they practice the kick returns. That's why the special teams goes over and over and over again the things that they need to do. Why? Because practice and preparation makes you perfect. It makes you mature. And if you're going to make it in the Christian life, you never get to the place where you say, I arrived. You say, I got to keep on preparing. Why? Paul said it. Because I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. Hey, listen to me. God apprehended you so that you would apprehend what he has for you in this life. God's got something for everybody in this room to do for him, to accomplish for him. And if life is like football in that there needs to be preparation. By the way, I believe the greatest thing that you can do in life first in preparing for life and preparing for death is to be born again. Amen. And then after that, it is to know Jesus Christ as, to know him in the way that Paul said, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering, but to know him. I went into the military 17 years old, and I went in the military thinking I was prepared for life. And I found very quickly that I was not prepared for life. Until the day that I went to West Coast Baptist Church at 19 years old, and there in that church, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, though I didn't realize it then, but that decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and to live for him would prepare me for everything that God had for me to do and everything that God had for me to go through in my life. I'm saying that's why I go to church, so I can be prepared. That's why you should be in every single service. Why? So you can be prepared for what God has for you. That's why you read your Bible every day. Why? Because so you can be prepared. That's why you pray every day so you can be prepared. That's why you yield your life to God every single day so you can be prepared for what God has for you to do or what God has for you to go through in your life. Preparation. Preparation is the key. Are you prepared for this life by knowing Jesus Christ? Are you prepared for death by being born again? The Bible says that appointed the men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you rejected or have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's preparation right there, man. Getting saved. Knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then going on to live for him and knowing him better in your life. So life is like football in the way that you have to have preparation in your life. Number two, life is like football in that in order to win, you have to be going in the right direction. You have to be going in the right direction. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth under those things which are before. Paul was saying, I want to go in the right direction. Paul said, I want to forget those things behind me. Brother Myers may have already said something like this, but you know, we're in a new year, a new beginning. Amen? Yeah. Maybe last year your Christian life went in the can. Maybe last year you dropped your Bible reading. Maybe last year you dropped your prayer life. Maybe last year you dropped your service for God or your soul winning or your church attendance. Maybe you weren't as good a Christian as you know you should have been last year, but guess what? That's behind you. Hey, this is a new year, amen? And Paul said, I want to forget those things that are behind me. Maybe somebody hurt you last year. Maybe things happened to you last year that made you bitter. Hey, you need to put those things behind you. And Paul said in that verse, he said, reaching forth to those things before. Paul says, I don't want to go backwards in my Christian life. Paul said, I want to go forwards in my Christian life. That should be the goal of every Christian. I don't want to go backwards in my service for God. I don't want to go backwards in my Bible reading. I don't want to go backwards in my prayer life. I want to go forward in my Christian life. That's what a football team does. They don't go backwards. They go forwards. David Livingston came back from the mission field, went to Britain. When he got to Britain, somebody asked him, where do you want to go now? And without hesitation, David Livingston replied, I am ready to go anywhere provided it is forward. It is forward. Hey, are you going forward in growth in your Christian life? Are you going forward in your Bible? Are you going forward in your prayer life? How are you going forward in your service? You need to be going forward. But you also need to make sure you're going in the right direction. The right direction. Back in 1929, University of California, Berkeley, was playing against a team, Georgia Tech, in the Rose Bowl. And the University of California had gotten down to the 25-yard line, Georgia Tech 25-yard line. But they lost the downs. They went through fourth down, and they couldn't get it in. And so the ball was turned over to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech had the ball. The quarterback received a snap, gave it to a halfback, began to run towards the goal. And he was tackled and hit by one of the tacklers. And the ball came out of his hands. And he came out at the 30-yard line. One of the men on the University of California team picked up the ball. His name was Roy Rigels. He's a center. Linebackers don't carry the ball a whole lot. And he got the ball, and man, he was so excited to get the ball. He got hit a couple of times by some of the players. He looked, he saw the goalposts, and he just started running toward those goalposts. The Georgia Tech was running after him. His own team was running after him. You say, why would his own team be running after him? He was going the wrong way. He was running towards the Georgia Tech goalposts. And his own team finally caught him on the 3rd-yard line. Hey, how many would agree? If you're going to be a winner in your life, you better make sure you're going in the right direction. My question to you tonight is, where is your life headed? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? I'm talking spiritually, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Is your life headed in the right direction? Many a young person, many an old person, their life, they became losers. They lost in this thing of life because they went in the wrong direction. Sometimes they went in the wrong direction because of wrong friends. Sometimes they went in the wrong direction because they got involved in the wrong things. Sometimes they went in the wrong direction because they started missing church and stopped reading their Bible and stopped praying. I'm just saying, life is like football in that you've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared what God has for you to do and prepared for what God's going to put you through in your life. But you also got to go in the right direction. Where's your life? What goalposts are you going? Are you going to the goalpost that's Jesus Christ, or are you going the opposite direction? Are you getting away from Jesus, or are you going towards him? By the way, the best way to make sure you're going in the right direction is make sure you have a marker. Something you're focused on all the time in 2017. Look at verse number 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word mark there is our text. It says it's an ancient sport, and it describes a marker or a post at the end of a race or course. Just like a farmer, he wants to make sure he gets at the end of the field. He has a straight line, so he has a marker, and he focuses on that marker, and he keeps his eye on that marker. That's exactly what we as Christians need to be doing. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes even at times off of other Christians. Focus your heart and your mind and your life on Jesus Christ. Hey, a good runner never takes his eyes off the marker. A good football player always knows where the first down marker is. He always knows where that goal posts are. And so life is like football in that you have to be prepared. Life is like football because you need to make sure you're going in the right direction. Number three, life is like football in that in order to win, you must have a playbook. You have to have a playbook. Every team, every football team has a playbook. And it is the job of every player to memorize the plays. And then it's the job of every player to execute those plays in that playbook. And if one player forgets that the play and doesn't go through that play like he should, then the team is not going to win and they're going to fail to score. Can I tell you something? The Christian life has a playbook. This is the playbook. This is our playbook. Hey, the playbook is a pathway to victory. You want to know how to have a victorious Christian life? Hey, learn your Bible. Amen. Stay in your Bible. Just like football, life has a playbook. That is the Bible. God's word. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, I know my thoughts. By the way, the word thoughts there is God says, I know my plans for you. God knows the plans. Hey, God has the best plays to win in life. But you got to know the playbook, because this is where the plays are. The plays for life. The plays for marriage. The plays for child rearing. The plays for living for God. This is our playbook. Somebody used an acrostic to describe the Bible and said this, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible is our playbook. It's an amazing playbook. And just like a team gets wisdom and gets knowledge and gets understanding of what they need to do as a player so that their team can win, we get wisdom, we get knowledge, we get understanding from this playbook right here. I love 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Hey, this book prepares you for the game of life. It gets you ready for everything. Yes, sir. Everything in your life. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration and profitable for doctrine. That means it tells you what is right. What's right in your life? He said, it's profitable for reproof. It tells you what is wrong. It's profitable for correction. It tells you how to keep things right. And it's profitable for righteousness. It teaches you how to keep going in the right direction in your life. So, life is like football. How? It's like football in that it teaches you have to be prepared. Life is like football in that it teaches you that you need to be going in the right direction. Life is like football because just like football, you have to have a playbook to get through this life. But the last thing is this, life is like football in that in order to win, you must have a good coach. You have to have a good coach. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57 says this, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus gives the victory. I am a New England Patriots fan. I have been a New England Patriots fan all my life. I remember as a boy sitting with my dad and watching those games. I remember going to some games. The only problem is much of my life, the New England Patriots never won. They were a losing team. Every time I went to a game, they never won. But I stayed true. Amen? I'm a loyal fan. And then something happened. Something happened in 2000. In 2000, the New England Patriots got a new coach. Amen? Some of you know where I'm going with this one, aren't you? They got a new coach. And that coach's name was Bill Belichick. Ever since 2000, New England Patriots have been a winning team. I know some of that hurts some of you. You're just jealous. But they have. They've been a winning team. You say, why? Because they had a good coach. They had a good coach. Can I tell you something? What makes a difference in life is having a good coach. And the greatest coach you'll ever have for your life is Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. Jesus needs to be your coach. Yep. You need to let him coach your life. Like I said earlier, on May 6, 1979, since that day, I got saved that day, and ever since that day, Jesus Christ has been my coach. Yep. 37 years, amen? By the way, 37 years I've been in church. 37 years I've been going soul winning. I mean, never been out of church, always been in church, and I've always kept Jesus Christ as my coach. And guess what? Hey, he's led me to a winning life. Got a lot to learn, but he's the best coach you'll ever have in your life. And that's where life is like football. It helps you to get the right coach. It shows you need a good coach. By the way, Jesus is a coach that is wise. He's a coach that is powerful. He's a coach that is caring. And by the way, he's not interested in only first round draft picks. I know there are some teams, man, they want that first round draft pick. Who was it? The Chicago Bears. I think they won 2 games this year or something like that. And I know a guy who's a Chicago Bears fan. I said, I'm so sorry. He said, oh, no, I'm excited. He said, this year we get a first round draft pick. I said, wow. Hey, you know what? Our coach doesn't need a first round draft pick. Doesn't need that. Hey, Jesus being our coach, he's not looking for somebody who already has it all together. Hey, our coach Jesus, in fact, he usually does his best work with those who don't have it all together. It's not the great ones that Jesus uses. It's the ones that sometimes aren't so great. 2000, Bill Belichick became the coach. Shortly after that, a guy named Tom Brady became the quarterback. He was a backup quarterback for the New England Patriots. And let's see, I think Bledsoe was the quarterback at that time. And I think it was the second or the third game into the football year, and Bledsoe got hurt. And so they brought in their backup quarterback, Tom Brady. And he's been their quarterback ever since. I think he's going to get his 5th Super Bowl ring in a couple weeks. Amen? 5th one. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are the most winning coach and quarterback in football history. You say you're just bragging about your team. I am. I'm going to take it while the taking is good. Amen? Because there's going to come a day they're going to be losers again. I know that. But guess what? I love this. Tom Brady wasn't a first-round draft pick. He wasn't a 6th-round draft pick. He wasn't a 3rd-round draft pick or a 4th or a 5th. He was a 6th-round draft pick. Basically, he was the bottom of the barrel. I saw an interview one time. He broke down and started crying because he never thought he'd really get an opportunity to play football in the NFL. But you know what made him a great quarterback? He had a great coach. He had a great coach. You know what makes a great Christian? Is a great coach Jesus. He can do more for your life than anybody else could ever do. But you have to make him your coach. Hey, the Bible says he invites anybody to be on his team. How many ever played, you know, maybe football, baseball, soccer, whatever, and you get all the guys over here, and then you got 2 guys that are captains, and they take turns picking. What did you always dread? That you're the last guy. The last guy. But the idea with Jesus is he invites everybody to be on his team. Everybody, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest for your soul. Hey, Jesus will take anybody, amen? Right. Anybody. He can take the worst Christian. He can take the worst person. He can take somebody who's been a drunkard, somebody who's been a prostitute, somebody who's been a drug addict, somebody who's been a gang member. He can take that person's life and make him somebody for Jesus Christ. But you got to let him be your coach. You have to let him have control of your life. You have to give it all. Not 1/3, not 1/2, not 3/4. Give it all. Give your all to Jesus. Surrender all in 2017 to Jesus. Let him coach your life this year. Just let him tell you what to do. And listen to what he wants you to do. Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Tom Landry was the coach. And Tom Landry said that after they had won the Super Bowl, he said he made this observation of the player. Obviously, all the players wanted to win the Super Bowl. Of course, that's the dream of every football player. But he said he noticed after they won it. Here's what he said. He said this. He said the overwhelming emotion in a few days after they won the Super Bowl among the players on the Dallas Cowboys football team was how empty that goal was. They thought there must be something more. Can I tell you something? There is more to life than winning a football game. There's more to life than making a lot of money. There's more to life than getting new cars and new homes and new things all the time. Listen, Jesus is called in the book of Haggai the desire of all nations. He is the only one that can bring true and real fulfillment in your life. You'll never be happy living half-hearted for Jesus Christ. You never will. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be satisfied. I close. Let me finish this story about Rory Rigel. This is part of the story most people don't know. That was the first half that Roy Rigel ran the wrong way. He was so embarrassed. By the way, he's still known today as the guy that ran the wrong way. They just put it in the Football Hall of Fame. They put that video in there of which he is not very appreciative. And he says, and now with YouTube, he said, people are watching it all the time. Doesn't make him very happy. But I love this part of it, Brother Myers. I love this. After halftime was over, yeah, all the players get up to go back on the field. Rory Rigel sat there. Coach said, what are you doing? He said, I can't go out there, coach. He said, I embarrassed myself. He said, I embarrassed you. I embarrassed our team. I can't play football ever again. And the coach looked at him and he said, Roy, you get up and go back out there. The game is only half over. Amen. Yep. I love this. He went out, and you can check it out later yourself. He went out. Georgia Tech and University of California players will all tell you that second half was the greatest half that Roy Rigel's ever played. The next year after that, he became the captain of the University of California football team. Maybe that's the way your life has been. Maybe you're embarrassed about your Christian life. Maybe you're embarrassed about the way you've been living with the Lord. Maybe you're embarrassed about some of the things you've been doing with your life. But can I tell you something? Your life is not over. It's not over. You can change your direction. You can turn it around. You can go towards the winning goalpost. You can make him your coach today. You can choose in 2017 until Jesus comes to live for him. I like football. Amen? But I like it because football is just like life. You got to be prepared. You got to get prepared. You got to be going in the right direction. You have to use this playbook right here. Amen? Yes, and he's got to be your coach. He's not just somebody that's a part of your team. He is the coach. Let him be the coach of your life. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer.